And we're back.
I'm back after not doing one of these podcasts in a very long time, especially a Panthers podcast. Bill Velt along with Max Henson, Brian Strickland, and guys, we took this offseason pretty literally from the podcasting world because it's been a number of weeks since we decided to do one of these.
It's been a long time, and it's been a long time. I think it really speaks to the offseason vibe that we're just sitting on the floor here in an empty media room.
Literally sitting on the floor. Yeah. People think we're high class people.
We're not. We're not at all.
Yeah. We haven't had time to do one, right? We've been so busy with the offseason moves and almost moves for the Panthers, right?
That's funny. You know, people always say, you know, NFL, you got to be always so busy, 365 days, right? And yeah, I guess kind of it's like that. But really, when you compare it to the grind of the season, the offseason is.
There's no comparison. Right. I mean, the one thing is that you just never know on any random day something could happen, of course. But there are plenty of days like right now where we've got time to just sit down and talk about a whole lot of stuff.
So should we commit to the people, or should we not bring this up, now that I'm bringing it up, though, that we want to do these weekly now going forward, or should I not have done
that? What are you doing, Bill?
Right.
I'm surprised Bill, of all people, is the one who mentioned it.
Yeah. It's,
I'm ready to commit. Are you saying I'm afraid of commitments?
I'm just saying that it took a while to get everybody to get together to do this one, and you just said we're going to try to do it weekly. So we'll see. We got to deliver on our promise if we're going to make it.
It wasn't really a promise.
What about vacation, Bill?
I just thought about it out loud. Well, we don't, as you guys showed during the season without me, we don't necessarily need all three of us
here.
That's
a good point. We don't need you, Bill. That's a good point.
All right. See you guys later.
No, please, Bill.
All right. So what do you guys want to talk about?
Couple moves here and there, right? I mean, I think everyone listening probably knows what's happened since we last spoke, right? I mean,
yeah, I mean, I figure why don't we start by just kind of setting the table for where things are for the Panthers right now. And obviously, the additions that have come in, the holes that they attempted to fill and maybe haven't been able to do just yet that they plan to fill, just kind of evaluate kind of where this team is.
You know what I can't stand? Of the many things, draft grades. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I would say, and this perhaps is unfair or just really logical, it's a very incomplete grade right now.
No doubt. Right.
And I think, though, that feeling of incomplete is really coming from, okay, they had the cornerback situation figured out, and then that was taken away, and then it looked like a couple cases where the tight end two situation was going to get taken care of. I felt like last week, things were really starting to come together, and these holes were really starting to come into place. And then the Breland thing happened, and now Eric Ebron signs in Detroit, or Eric Ebron's going to Indy.
Yep.
And it looks like Luke Wilson's going to Detroit. And so to me, it seems like some of the momentum from last week has kind of stalled.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, Bill, but that's a reality. You know, this time of year, regardless, especially for this team, I mean, this team is noted for being active in the second wave of free agency, obviously. The incomplete grade would exist regardless because of the draft. I mean, obviously, that's going to play a big role. But I do know that kind of one of Marty Herney's stated goals is to have holes filled in a way that he and his staff are happy with so that they don't have to draft for need. And, you know, it is in that way, you know, the clock is ticking. And, you know, that's also a good goal, but it's not always going to be realistic across the board in this league.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's every team's goal in free agency, right, is to set yourself up to take best available player when you get into the draft. And as a couple of people have, you know, pointed out on Twitter recently, you know, what the Panthers have done with their additions in free agency haven't really changed their perceived needs at all. I mean, the list of needs hasn't changed. I mean,
still need a defensive end. So Julius Peppers still need a defensive end.
I mean, so yeah. So let's talk about what they've done to what they're bringing in. Obviously, Peppers coming back for his 17th season is huge. I mean, we all know that everybody was kind of on pins and needles around here, waiting to find out, is he going to come back? Is he not? Yeah, he's been doing it now 17 years, but 11 and a half sacks last year. I mean, that's a lot of production, and you still expect him to produce at a high level. The big move, of course, is the defensive tackle they come in. They lose Star Lotulelei to Buffalo in free agency, and then they bring in Dontari Poe, who, I don't know about you guys, but I was caught off guard when that came down to us and we found out this was going to be happening. Mm-hmm. Did not necessarily see that coming.
I didn't either. No, yeah. That was more of an aggressive move at that position than I thought they would make. But I do think that fills a need that they
no doubt
had when they wanted to get Star back, but they didn't want to bid what Buffalo was bidding.
Yeah, and it fits with what this team does if you think about it. Again, we'll go through holes, and D tackle would not have been at the top of the list. We've had the discussion, you know, before free agency about, you know, if Star's not here, is Vernon Butler the answer to replace Star? Probably not within his skill set. But it fits with the DNA of this team that they always want to be strong on the defensive line. We've seen them obviously draft guys when they seem to be strong in the first round, as a matter of fact.
I think one of the interesting things about this, too, is, you know, everybody before free agency started was worried about the possibility of losing somebody like Star. But now it seems most people you ask, you know, the Panthers upgraded at that position.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but when you look at a guy like Poe and what he brings – you know, we obviously knew what Star did, a lot of the dirty work, and was occupying blockers and allowing those linebackers to run. But Poe seems to bring a little bit more of a wow factor as far as quickness off the ball and maybe a little bit more pass rush potential. You pair that with KK Short, and you think, oh, man, I mean, sure, those guys could be pretty
I think
disruptive.
It's an upgrade there, and I think you could say while they're not the splashiest of moves, they've upgraded a bit at receiver.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the one thing I would say. We talk about, you know, needs, and do the Panthers need a wide receiver in the draft now? That's the one thing I would say. Again, fans might not think these are the ultimate answers at wide receiver with Torrey Smith coming in via trade and Jarius Wright coming in after he was released by the Vikings, but you can be patient at wide receiver at least with those moves, I feel like, come draft time.
It would be nice if you could. If Marty Herney has a stated goal of getting Cam Newton more weapons,
right,
is Torrey Smith and Jarius Wright getting it done? So
but
I think not necessarily.
Right, but isn't it all relative to the other needs we're going to talk about?
100%. That's why, and I'll say this so many times probably over the next few weeks, I would never want to be a GM. Because you plug one hole and then 13 more pop open.
I think to your point, Brian, in the scenario, if you had to play tomorrow – with the wide receivers this team has, you could do it.
Sure.
Some of these other positions
relatively to the other positions.
You would say you got some work to do, obviously. So, yeah, I mean, Torrey Smith brings, you know, deep speed that this team desperately needs. Jarius Wright, his experience in North Turner, a guy who can play in the slot and, you know, just gives you more depth there. I mean, we saw what happened to the Panthers receiving core late in this past season and the guys that had to be counted on in big moments and big roles. You want depth at that spot. And I know people, you know, want to see Curtis Samuel and Demir Byrd step into larger roles. Those guys still have to prove that they can be counted on to make it through a full season. Obviously, they have to work their way back from injuries. So I think the Wright and Smith signings add speed, give this offense a little bit more of what it needs going forward, and you check some boxes with those.
This might not be the ideal way to look at it, but it's almost like Curtis Samuel is now – a little bit of house money that they're playing with. Because they know they can depend on Torrey Smith and Jarius Wright. They still don't know what they have in Curtis Samuel, and he's coming off a pretty serious injury, especially for a speed guy.
Yeah.
So you can't just say, okay, we got Curtis Samuel next year, we're good. They have no idea yet. So if Curtis Samuel comes out and plays like a second-round pick, then that's, I think, a tremendous bonus going forward.
Yeah, and I'm looking for some wood to knock on. But one thing that I didn't think about with Torrey Smith that Norv Turner pointed out is durability, and that's not easy to come by with speed guys, as we see in the case of Curtis Samuel. And Torrey Smith, I think, has missed two games in his career because of injury. So at least, again, you could go out in week one with this lineup. And of course, remember 2015 and what that group of receivers looked like and what
And I know people are looking at the 2 years, $5 million each left on Torrey Smith's contract, but as we saw with the free agency contracts, you really want to take a risk here or sign one of these bigger guys, and people are saying, well, Torrey was just going to be cut anyway. No, the Eagles are dead set on trying to trade him, and if he did hit the market, do we really think, just as we saw with those prices of the other receivers, that he would have gotten less than $5 million?
Yeah, you maybe get into a bidding war with maybe a team who's got a lot of cap room and isn't afraid to use it. I mean, who knows how that plays out. I think it's smart acquisitions. But now to – you know, transition to a different side of the ball. To get Torrey Smith, you had to trade Darrell Worley.
Right.
And obviously the plan there sort of took shape when you saw the Breland signing. And then that all kind of fizzled out, you know, in a matter of that physical and – the contract being nullified, and then if you're a Panther fan, you're sitting there saying, okay, what next? And I think that's a tough question the Panthers are trying to answer right now.
Yeah, I don't know how to answer it. I can only say this, you know, because it's a lot easier to say it than actually have to do it as a GM. But they need to go sign a corner in free agency somehow, even though there's not a lot out there. And I think they need to get a safety.
Right.
Draft, I've been saying this for weeks, draft a safety, sign a safety. Then you can say, hey, Bill, but who? I'd be like, oh, I don't know. I'm just saying, just go do it.
Just get one. Yeah, and I think that's what the Panthers would like to do. I mean, you look at the cornerback market right now. You can comb through the list of names and just try to see if there's one that the Panthers like the fit, think might be able to come in here on a team-friendly deal and just give you a body, first of all, right? But I think absolutely going into the draft now, you're looking at those two positions in the secondary, corner and safety, as ones this team are going to be extremely focused on. This team has four picks in the first three rounds right now. And I would say, if it were me, going into that draft, and now you don't want to go into a draft thinking we need one of these and one of those, but I think that's kind of where this team is right now.
Yeah,
but at least in the defensive backfield.
Right, and not the best spotted safety to start a rookie in an ideal world, though. We've seen guys have success early, though, in this league at the same time. It takes you back to, the decision with Kurt Coleman, of course. I mean, who can predict the future?
Yeah, now he's a New Orleans Saint.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of talk about Honey Badger when the Breland thing happened. Do you have to address one of those with a big name guy, for lack of a better term, either corner or safety, before you kind of get into the second wave of free agency? Heard kind of one of my pet peeves, heard some talk about, why would this team, what was it, $7 million, I think, Honey Badger signed for. It's like, why would the Panthers not have paid him $7 million? It's the player has some say-so in this, I mean, I'm not saying what happened behind closed doors or whatever, but you can't just say, oh, well, the Panthers could have had that guy for $7 million. The player has a little choice about where he ends up, and, we see what can happen with that. Sometimes you kind of get left out of the mix for various reasons at a given position.
Yeah, you don't – Dave said it in this room years ago. Dave Gettleman, it was one of my favorite quotes, and I'll just summarize it. You don't know what happens behind closed doors. You hear a lot of these stories, but you don't really know the full story behind them. But I think we can at least say, yeah, the Panthers were sniffing around Honey Badger, and it didn't work out for some reason or the other. And it's not as simple as, oh, the Panthers aren't willing to give him this amount of money.
Right. But
there's still the hole. there's still the hole. Yeah. And so, Max, I think you're right. It's like, okay, now I have to address these. But then I say, okay, what if they don't like Taylor Moten to play left guard? Then are we looking at them having to go get a left guard early?
Yeah, I mean, you look at some of their other losses. Obviously, we knew Andrew Norwell was on his way out of Carolina. Right. I mean, undrafted free agent, hits the market. It was going to be a big payday. He gets it from the Jaguars. Now he's in Jacksonville. For the Panthers, you're left with figuring out who's going to be your starting guard. And I mean, I think when you look at this list of needs, it's needs at starting positions. And that's the thing, too. I mean, you need a guy to step in at that starting guard spot, unless you think it's going to be a Moten or a Larson or somebody like that who might fill in and do that job. Obviously, we've seen in kind of these, another one of your favorite things, Bill, the mock drafts. A guy like Will Hernandez is somebody everybody keeps saying is like, okay, instant plug and play. You lose Norwell, you take a guard. You want to take a guard in the first round? I mean, that's a big question, I think, that a lot of teams would – I don't think a lot of teams would answer that question with a yes. I think you look at Norwell as one perfect example, undrafted. I mean, guards, I think you can get maybe later on in that draft. So in my head, again, I lean more toward the defensive backfield in those early rounds. But you make the good point, Bill, that the guard is another – absolute item that's on that checklist right now that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, and again, I go back to the it's all relative thing. This is probably not one of your favorite Dave Gettleman quotes. Sometimes the answer is on your roster, but
I know who you're going to bring up right now. You're going to bring up Blaine Clausel, aren't you?
You knew it, right? I mean, pretty good thing.
I actually was
guy.
About to bring him up.
Yeah, but I was going to. No, it's just a bigger picture point that. I mean, we completely are on the same page about this. We see, do you want to go out there day one, week one, with these guys, some of these guys we're talking about, these positions as your starters? But you know, the decision makers, you know, in Ron Rivera's side of the building, they may feel differently about some of these guys mm-hmm. than we do, and they probably know a thing or two more about them than we do. So, again, our list of needs and, you know, what the front office thinks as far as list of needs are probably not the same.
And I think a lot of my view was warped because thinking back a year ago, and I thought, wow, Dave really checked off all the boxes going into the draft. There really weren't needs going into the draft. But, again, look back to who they brought in. Captain Munnerlyn didn't really work out like they had hoped. Daryl Worley didn't turn out to be the second. So you mm-hmm. go through these positions last year where you thought they had checked off boxes. Charles Johnson, the receiver, could add some speed. A few other things that they did. And really, so while we thought they had these boxes checked off a year ago before they went into the draft, once it played out,
right.
But the two safeties, you know, yeah. it's just it wasn't all that swell.
Yeah. I mean, versus like, you know, what do we know about Corn Elder right now, for example? I mean, that's a guy that obviously didn't get a chance last year because of injury. But we heard him talked about predominantly as a nickel guy. Well, you know, he has outside skills, too. We know that from college. You know, maybe that's a box that they feel like is checked off. You know what I mean? Again, it's all relatively speaking.
Who was the starting secondary in 13? They got one of the safeties corner. Really late, yeah. didn't they?
Was it
Quentin McKell or
Quentin Michael?
Yeah.
You had Mike Mitchell. You had Melvin White.
Drayton
Florence, right. And which right. who wasn't a first wave guy either. That's not ideal.
Right.
Yeah. And you could say that usually doesn't work out that way usually. But I'm looking at that as kind of perhaps right. this is how it's going to have to work out this year.
And it does. And it reminds me that same year, I believe, the lack of excitement about Ted Ginn being brought in as a second wave guy who had
they had a home run with that
career one. and now we're missing Ted Ginn. So I'm referencing back to Torrey Smith and Jarius Wright when I say that.
I think the thing with the secondary that's been going on with this franchise for quite a while now is they've had to remake it quite often. You know, they've been to what you're saying, Bill, has been kind of patchwork solutions, and sometimes it works like it did in 13. I think other people might look at it and say, is it time to really invest in the future of those positions, to bring in young corners,
which
young
Dave
safeties?
Which did two drafts ago.
And that's what we saw.
That's the other thing.
That was building the foundation, that was as the goal. He said, in this room. That's what they were building the foundation, finally.
And it sounded great at that point, didn't it? And, look, James Bradbury, I think, has proven to be a solid pick, you know, in that second round. Yeah, the production as far as interceptions, pass breakups, isn't maybe where you'd like to see it, but he's established himself as a pretty good player. The Daryl Worley thing did not work out. And now we're in a situation at safety where Kirk Coleman, where he signed his extension not too long ago, didn't really work out as planned. And Mike Adams, obviously, is at the tail end of his career. So I get it. It's frustrating, I think, when fans, I think I said it, you know, again, here they are trying to retool the secondary. It's like, wait, we were just doing that 2 years ago. Well, I mean, that's kind of where we're at. You got a new GM, and I think in Marty's mind, he might look at it and say, you know what, there are some good athletes available in this draft class. Maybe it's time to invest heavily in that group. This franchise has always been so heavily predicated on that front,
yep.
right? Yeah. The front seven, and mm-hmm. you kind of just figure out the back end after
right.
it.
Yeah.
I don't know if maybe that shifts a little bit.
Yeah, I'm about to ask a question that I'm not prepared to answer. When's the last time the Panthers drafted a safety on day one or day two of the draft? I mean, Trey Boston was –
Thomas Davis was a safety
was
in
fourth,
college.
There you go. Might have been Thomas Davis, right? So, I mean, Trey Boston was fourth round, I think, right? So, not that means that's what they need to do. But, yeah, there's not a history of that. But maybe it's time. Something I think we all agree has to happen relatively early in theory, DB-wise.
Yeah. We haven't even touched the other needs at running back.
I mean, I was just going to say we haven't even
back.
Talked about running
they
back.
They need a second tight end. They need a second quarterback. So, again, you want to criticize these GMs and all this other stuff, that's fine. Go in that chair and try and make all these decisions. It's ridiculously tough, which is I know people can't stand the Patriots, and I know they have two of the best people that have ever done it, one at quarterback, one at head coach, but the fact that they've been able to sustain their success for so freaking long is so ridiculous mm-hmm. because I look at this every year and I get overwhelmed by how GMs have to navigate through this.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's like literally like whack-a-mole to try to like fill all these holes, and then one springs up, you know, injury comes into play. All these things that you can't predict, so you have to try to be as prepared as you can, but it's an impossible task.
You think people in Philly were excited last summer? They went, oh yeah, we're gonna go win a Super Bowl.
Right. Well, and that's the other thing, I've said this on other fronts, this is something I say a lot, it's all a relative thing. We're not the only franchise playing whack-a-mole, and this team has managed to make the playoffs for the last 5 years, and you're starting with the base of a team that was 11-5 a year ago. So when you're so close to the team like we are, like the fans are, you can think, panic, like, oh, my goodness, what are we going to do here? Look at all these holes. Fans of other teams are feeling the same way, and then, by the way, those teams will match up against each other. And my bottom line point there is the Panthers will navigate this, and I assume they'll be pretty okay.
Yeah, the piece you wrote this week about the NFC South, it was like, okay, I haven't followed those other three teams so closely. So what you told me there was like, oh, okay, that's just what they've done. But when, like with the Panthers, I'm like, no, but they need this and this and this and this and this too, because I know them so intimately.
Right, yeah.
I do just want to talk a little bit about the running back spot, though, too, before we wrap this thing up, because that's something obviously everybody is really interested in. They took McCaffrey in the top 10 last year and obviously part ways with Jonathan Stewart. They need a complimentary guy for Christian, and I think everybody is wondering now who that guy is going to be, what kind of skill set is he going to bring, and what's looking now like that's probably going to come via the draft. I mean, I guess we'll see how free agency – the third or fourth wave plays out. But again, when you start talking about those top four picks, you know, you only get four of them, but that looks like another area to me where running back is intriguing.
Yeah, Bill, you're our mock draft guy. What have you been seeing out there in mock draft world? And you're at the combine too.
I'm not touching the mock draft. but I think that what would be a reasonable way to look at their plan right now is that Cameron Artis Payne, who I know a lot of people wanted to see for a while, he's kind of look at him as kind of like your free agent pickup.
Right.
Yeah. And then you pick up a running back, and they'll tell you, most teams will tell you right now, this draft is deepest at running back. And as we've seen for the past decade, you can pluck a running back from here or there and plug them in. And if there's a plug-and-play position in the NFL right now on offense that it can work, it is running back. So while we know it's like this need they have, I don't think it's like big, flash, bright, like, oh, you have to go this first round and all that other stuff.
Agreed.
Yeah, I don't
How's
think
that
was And I mean, it'd be crazy if they went. It would seem a little crazy to win the first round, right? Especially with all the talk constantly about running backs and if they're worth first round value. You know, that was always been the big thing. Is you like to your point, you could get a David Johnson in round six, whatever it was. You know, you could get these running backs in such late rounds that end up proving to be, you know, big time players. Howard for the Bears,
right?
Another one that comes to mind.
Undrafted guys, even.
I mean, so that's always just a conversation that comes up with running backs. But having said that, too, if there's a guy that you really like. And I like you were saying, Bill, I think there are lots of really intriguing running backs in this class. I would almost expect to see the Panthers really take a hard look at that position in those first 2 days.
Yep. Got Cam Newton at running back. Don't forget that. You know, and of course, how comfortable are the Panthers with Christian McCaffrey? What's his role going to be? Whether they draft a running back or not, we're going to be watching that carefully. And I don't know. It was a mixed bag, of course, last year when Christian was put in that role.
Well, this has been good for me. I'm good.
How did we do? What
was it
fine? Time-wise?
We're at 22. We wanted to keep it a little bit under 20.
That was
kind of my way of saying
there's some banter. There's some banter early on we could probably cut, but,
probably cut a lot of my stuff.
I didn't want to say it out loud, but
a little rusty to come back, but it was nice to be back. Do you want to do it again next week?
Maybe so.
You have a fear of commitment.
Yeah, maybe.
I'll be here. I'm in if you guys are in.
Okay, we'll do it one way or the other, right?
Talk to you next time on the Panthers Podcast.